He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It is the March the 4th live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Well, we finished off on Friday at new all-time highs in the NASDAQ, 16,275, and in the S&P at 5,137. But so far today, we're seeing a little bit of red on the screen, a little downdraft with the S&P down 81. It's now at 39,006. It's down 21 basis points right now so far today. S&P 500, a little bit off of its all-time high here. It's down 5 to 5,132. And the NASDAQ, although I've seen some pretty good movement underneath the surface of the NASDAQ by a lot of the usual suspects, overall the NASDAQ is down 38 points right now, or about a quarter of a percent. Small caps are up 0.75% today. Crude oil is up 7 cents as the OPEC renews their production cut. Gold is hitting a new all-time high, up $13 per ounce to $2,108. I've never said that before on gold. And the 10-year is down, is up 4 basis points to 4.22. And good old Bitcoin, it's up $3,900 to $66,104. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. President of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And let's pick up where we left off on Friday, and that would be all-time highs.
Yeah, what a week it was.
Across
huh?
the board. Yes, the only one that did not finish, well, they all finished at an all-time high on Friday. S&P 5137, which is now exceeds most people's target prices for the year. Also, although I see a lot of analysts scrambling to raise their target prices so they don't look stupid, I guess. The NASDAQ hit 16,275. I've never said that before. And we are down just a little bit here today. There were breakouts all over the place on Friday. And it was really Dell and a company by the name of Pure Storage, which led the way. Dell was up 31% on Friday. Server business. We'll talk a little bit about servers today and the role that they play in artificial intelligence. And we had a 1% advance last week on the S&P 500. We had that soft PCE report on Thursday, and that helped. And speaking of the S&P 500, a little bit of a shakeup today here, and they're adding two of our stocks, Barry. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Who do we got?
Super Micro Computer is being added
makes sense,
to
given
the
what
S&P
it's doing today.
500. Yeah, you know what? It's in our
emerging
growth portfolio.
Makes sense, given what is up 17% or something.
Yes, SMCI.
Yeah, up 18%.
On that announcement.
1,068.
We've done very well with SMCI. They make servers to handle all of this. And the other one is Deckers Outdoor, which we discovered a long time ago. Oh, maybe 10 years ago or so. Even longer than that, 13 years ago, I discovered Deckers and have been on it, in and out of it over that period of time. We're currently in it. Yes, and, you know, it's that Nike competitor, Hoka, which seems to be driving it these days. And it's added to the S&P 500 today. So, hey, that's a little feather in our cap. We've owned them way before they entered into the S&P. And Deckers is up 3% today. It's now a $24 billion company, and it's hitting a new all-time high. Okay, historic run is in sight. You're currently, we're currently on a run that you may not see again in your lifetime, says Deutsche Bank's Jim Reed. The S&P 500 last week completed a run of 16 positive weeks out of the last 18 for the first time since 1971. If it carries on this week and finishes up, it'll be 17 out of 19, and then you got to go clear back to 1964, which is a remarkable and relentless period of performance. And, you know, here's what we're all wondering, Barry. Where's the top? Because there is a top out there somewhere. The laws of gravity are still in place. Valuation does matter. And you've got a lot of people now starting to compare this historic run in the market to 2000. Okay, I was there in 2000. I saw that historic run in the NASDAQ. We've got some comparisons today to see if we're anywhere close to that. We've also had a historic run in 2022, in 2020 and the beginning of 2021. That was the COVID madness with all that money floating around. We'll compare this current run against that also here in a bit. Macy's is on the move today. They are receiving a revised bid higher from a private equity
once
firm
again
that wants to take them private. And this thing is up 14.4% today. The venerable old department store, which is now a small cap stock at $5.6 billion. So that stock is in play today, Macy's. And we have the Japan
Nikkei. Yeah, and the value
of
that stock is primarily in real estate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, the bricks and mortar stores, but they, you know, there still is room, I think, for a few bricks and mortar stores. Dillard seems to be doing fairly well, and Macy's seems to be the only other survivor in that space. The Nikkei tops 40,000 for the first time, and of course, we're closing in on 40,000. We're just 1,000 points away. A 1,000 points away. And we'll have the S&P 500 at 4. If it gets there, we have to start worrying about a top. We don't have a lot of catalyst here this week, really. The Fed's going to be the biggest catalyst probably over the next several weeks. We have 3 weeks until the end of the first quarter of this year. And then the whole earnings parade rounds the corner and marches down Main Street once again. Beginning about 5 weeks from now, and that's always a big catalyst when you get those earnings reports coming in. We do still have some earnings that will be coming in this week. We'll go over that here in a little bit. The NASDAQ top 10 performers year to date, and I'm proud to say, Barry, we own 7 out of 10 of those top 10 performers. Believe it or not, this is not a surprise. NVIDIA is up 65.3% year to date. And Constellation Energy, number two. I can't say that a lot of people own that one, but we do. It's a utility, it's a hybrid utility. It's up 43.6% year to date. Number three is Meta. Up 41.1%. Actually, we own the top six.
That one sneaks in there.
Yep. And then you've got AMD up 36.2, DoorDash up 30.6, and ASM Lithography up 29.2. So we're six for six. The pick six. If somebody said at the beginning of the year, this is the pick six, pick the six top winners of the year, well, we put in our ticket. We've got all six of them so far. Biggest con- biggest detractor so far this year in the S&P 500? Apple, Tesla, Boeing. This is the S&P now, not NASDAQ. Intel, United Health, Adobe, actually, Humana, Pfizer, Newmont Mining, and Next Era Energy. Now, when we come back, I was there in 1999. I saw the historic run of the NASDAQ, which is one of the biggest bubbles of all time. It finally burst in March of 2000 when the NASDAQ hit 5,300. It didn't get back to that level. It took 15 years. That's how overpriced the NASDAQ was at that point in time. And then along came 2021 with all of that fueled by all of that COVID money. We're going to come back and compare today's rally with those two periods of time. Should we be nervous? I'm always nervous. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, this tech rally is being compared with 1999 and the year 2021. Now, I would say the biggest difference between the tech rally today and 2021, that rally was in a lot of very, you know, questionable long-duration stocks.
Actual earnings.
Yeah, and many of those have fallen 80% since then, 70% since then. Consider that that's where, you know, ARK Funds was highly focused. And in the year 2023, right after that, she was down 67%. So this time, right now, you have more focused in high-quality growth stocks. You know, the Magnificent Seven are still Apple, Amazon, Google, Meta, Microsoft, Nvidia, and Tesla. Now, those are quality earnings there. That is not, you know, anywhere near what we had. That was a speculative bubble in 2021 because of the COVID money and people sitting at home, nothing else to do. And buying speculative stocks. Now, if we go back to that one, to me, is much more important to compare with this current rally. We have David Kostin from Goldman Sachs. He's using the price-to-sales number. Actually, he's using enterprise value. And they always got to do something fancy like that to make it sound like they're doing something different. But it's basically, well, okay, enterprise value is a little bit different, right? I mean, enterprise value, he's taking enterprise value, which is different from sales, and dividing it by sales, okay? So what he's got here is a comparison with now in then, okay? The enterprise value to sales right now, he says that stocks with EV to sales ratios greater than 10 now account for 24% of U.S. equity market cap.
So that just means the total value of the company's, essentially the total value of the company's stock plus the cost to pay off their debt, right, is going to be, you know, 10 divided by sales is 10 times or higher, basically.
Yes, and that accounts for one-fourth of the U.S. equity market. In 2021, it was 28% of the U.S. equity market. And in the 90s tech bubble, which I think is more relevant here, it was 35% back then. So we're not where we were in 99 and 2000, but that was also a speculative bubble also. We did have big earners. I mean, we had Apple and we had Dell And we had Microsoft, and we did have others that were big earners. But many of the dot-com stocks didn't have that much in the way of sales yet. But having said that, we are at a high level from a valuation point of view. There's no question about it. I mean, I look at price. I look at a forward P/E ratio and P/E ratio, and those are both up there in the 95th percentile right now. So the question is, where's the top? Well, and as you're in a speculative bubble like this, it's very difficult to call a top.
Yeah, I think the biggest comparison is just the story, right? I mean, you had, you know, the story of the internet, right, in 2000 was, you know, really driving, right, a lot of those valuations.
Yep.
And then, of course, when you talk about the AI story, really since, you know, ChatGPT came along and then, of course, followed up by NVIDIA's blockbuster earnings and continued blockbuster earnings, you know, you've got a, you know, and very similar in terms of a
yes.
A changing, technologically changing environment, right, and story.
Yeah.
And people are getting behind that. I think we probably people said the internet was going to ruin the world, too, back in the 2000s, just like, you know,
right.
AI is, you know, supposed to destroy the world, right?
So the dot-com euphoria has been replaced this time by artificial intelligence, AI euphoria. But it's also leading to real earnings in NVIDIA
and
Microsoft and Supermicrocomputer and Dell. I was thinking about these REITs that own servers like Digital Realty Trust. And there's another one. I can't think of the name
we
of
had,
it.
We had one that we used to own, you
we
know,
used
that we wrote about,
it.
And it got purchased by another company.
Oh,
I can't remember who purchased
that's why
it.
I can't.
Yeah, that's
what it, find it.
It went off the map. But yeah, I have to.
But those, okay, and then you've got Applied Networks, ANET, you've got AMD, you've got the ASM lithography. So the tentacles go pretty far out with this artificial intelligence. But at some point, there's a top out there. To get back to that P/E ratio of 18 to 19, which is where we belong, now it would take an 8 to 10% correction. An 8 to 10% correction, which is going to happen, I would think, at some point in time.
It was
now,
it was CoreSite, and it was purchased by American Tower, purchased CoreSite, and CoreSite was the one that we wrote up an article on in Seeking Alpha, actually.
And then there was another one then. Okay, there's another really big one that's as big as Digital Realty Trust that we've also owned in the past also. I can't think of the name of it, though, but I'll think of it here before the end of the show. Now, how do you handle, well, where's the top? Well, you know what? I mean, you could sell everything today if you're a trader that just trades the market overall. I mean, your risk-to-reward ratio, you risk missing out on another 3, 4, 5%. I don't know what the case may be here. But it's not high, that upside potential. And on the downside, you know, you have, you've got 10% risk probably on the downside. And, I mean, heaven forbid if we got any kind of a black swan event here at valuations this extreme. You've got Bitcoin today at 65,000, which is another greed indicator, I suppose. I just handle it one stock at a time like anything else, you know. I mean, so far this year, I didn't. Now, when a market event comes along, it's probably going to take all these high flyers with it, anywhere from 10 to 20%. I could see a real high flyer like Supermicrocomputer or something like that getting hit for 20% in a correction. So I watch that, you know, really the most valuable thing is watching the charts every day, seeing the news every day, reading through. That doesn't predict a black swan event, but, you know, a black swan event is pretty unusual. It's more likely that right now we have a game of chicken, and when the first big owner here starts to unwind some positions, then you usually get, you know, a big follow-through of other people starting to lock in profits and getting out of the way. That's what I'm watching for in individual stocks right now. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. With Dow down 69, NASDAQ down 40, coming off a week where we saw new highs across the board. And, of course, new worries across the board. And the big question is, where's the top? And, you know, it's very hard to tell right now. From a valuation point of view, you would say there's not that much upside potential left. I'm seeing target prices revised higher. We got a few of those today. But I think you'd have to take it one stock at a time. I don't see a big market event out there right now. What we don't know is what we don't know. There could be something out there, a big inflation report. You know, there's just a myriad of threats always to the market. The biggest threat right now seems to be a valuation threat because of the high forward PE, price to sales, whatever the case may be. All your valuation ratios are very high right now.
Well, I haven't heard Rubini's remarks today where he was constructive on the economy and kind of that no landing scenario.
Now, which, there's a top.
As a perma bear, right? He is, I don't know if I've ever heard him.
No,
he still didn't sound positive, but he was positive. It's about as positive he's going to get.
That's a contrary indicator there. Man. Okay, we've got earnings. Let's see, today. There's nothing really big today. Tomorrow is NIO, which is a Chinese. There was news on all those Chinese EV cars last week. Biden warning about having spy equipment in them to spy on us if we bring them to the U.S. CrowdStrike, that's a pretty big one. They report tomorrow. Target reports tomorrow. Nordstrom, Ross Stores. So there's still some important ones. And then on Wednesday, JD.com. Not really anything else. Abercrombie and Fitch. On Thursday, Costco, which is still hitting new highs. One of the non-AI stocks, non-tech stocks. Although I'm sure there's some AI somewhere in there in Costco's whole business plan. Then on Thursday, Broadcom. That's a big one. Kroger. The Gap stores, and then we'll have most of those earnings reports in. We are 97%, yes, of the S&P 500 companies have now reported. 73% have beat their estimates. 64% have beat their sales. Earnings growth is now expected to be 4% when those other 3% of S&P 500 companies come in and report. The estimate 4% higher than this same time last year. The forward PE 21.16 is where we closed. Now, at the beginning of 2022, that was that euphoric run that we had with the COVID benefit money. We got to 23.5, but then the Fed stepped in. that was also Fed-driven because you had interest rates just above zero back then by the Fed. Now we're at 4.3, so I don't see us getting to 23.5 again, although anything's possible in a euphoria type of market we're in right now. We got as low as, I think, around 15.5. In October of 22 was the bottom of the market. That's when we sensed that the Fed was done. And then just like that, from October of 2022 till now, we're at 21.16, which is a about a two-and-a-half-year. Well, no, you can't say it's a two-and-a-half-year high. Yeah, you got to go back to that period of time.
Yeah, right around November of 2021, I think.
Yes, beginning of 2022, actually. So I think I think the market finally peaked in February of 2022 when the P.E. ratio hit 23.5. So now here we are in March of 2024, 2 years later, and the forward P.E. is 21.16. So there's not a lot of room to move there to the upside. That's something that we have to really watch here are these valuation ratios, especially if you're entering into a new position in a stock or adding to a position. You know, you've got to really be careful right now. And as far as profit taking goes, nobody wants to miss out on another 20% move in NVIDIA. I'll tell you, the stock that's really come on here, and I'm surprised it's breaking out again today, is AMD. You got another breakout. AMD had a huge day on Friday with a huge breakout. It seems like NVIDIA kind of left it in its wake there for a while, and now they're starting to say, well, it's just a matter of time before NVIDIA starts to cut in, or before AMD starts to cut into NVIDIA's big lead. And I've seen a massive move in NVIDIA here recently.
All-time high for AMD, over $209 at the moment.
Wow.
So
it's, and then,
I think we wrote the article up. I want to say it was around 99, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, God.
That was the most recent time we've written about it. We've written about it a number of times.
Somebody should come up with the strategy by Gunderson's articles, right? When they come out, they've been pretty impressive. You go back and look at the last 10, you can do the math. I've got a couple on the drawing board, all right? I have not zeroed in and decided. Okay, let's see what else we have here today. There's talk of DoorDash teaming up with Lyft. Uber's a big player. Uber Eats is a big player. And if DoorDash, which is one of the big winners of this year, let's not forget, and hitting a new high again today, up 4.3%, and another one we own. And there's talk of an intriguing partnership. Lyft kind of needs a lift because they've been left in the dust by Uber. Another company is cutting back on their natural gas production. You know, it's almost like nobody's talking about the energy stocks these days with all this AI fever in the air. EQT is going to cut natural gas production.
Well, don't forget about the amount of power. I've read some things in terms of powering those data centers, right?
Oh,
you've got to keep them cool. Otherwise, those things, I mean, those semiconductors can crank out some heat.
Is that the best use of our energy? I don't know.
It's interesting, yeah. And then, of course, you got some companies, ancillary companies, in terms of renewables around, right, the data centers. So there's some, you know, some interesting pieces of that puzzle that are still fitting in that aren't necessarily computer related. In that case, it would be energy or keeping things refrigeration.
Well, I gotta believe that's a big reason behind these huge moves in Constellation Energy and in Vistra Energy, VST.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the coming demand for energy to run all of these big data centers. Those are two of the hottest stocks in the entire market. And, you know, they showed up in the app late last year, and we added them to our portfolios, and they've just gone on a sizzling run.
Well, remember those Bitcoin miners got a bad rap, remember, for using, you know, lots of energy in terms of mining. So it'll be interesting to see how that parlays into the data center world.
Yeah, and then when everybody starts plugging in there. Well, we won't be plugging in Fiskars, it doesn't look like. But Tesla Everybody comes home from work, plugs in their Tesla or their Mercedes or whatever the case may be. Whole Foods Market eyes launching a small store concept. I think that's a good idea. Something like a Trader Joe's maybe, because Trader Joe's certainly does do the business. And I could see Whole Foods Market coming up with some kind of a... There's certainly plenty of bricks and mortar locations available for Whole Foods Market. And let's not forget, Whole Foods Market is a part of Amazon. So by owning Amazon, you also own Whole Foods Market. I was looking at Tesla here this morning. Now they're talking about a gigafactory in Thailand. That's just not a good chart on Tesla. It's horrible. Look at that. It's down 5.2% today. Tesla is just under attack. The stock is under attack. We don't own it. We got out of it at 226, 34 points ago.
Well, and if they keep getting, I mean, if you think about, you know, Biden was mentioning, you know, not allowing Chinese, you know, electric vehicles here. What do you think? You know, what do you think China's going to do with Tesla in their backyard?
That's right. They'll retaliate. Now, yeah. The only chart that worked for a big stock that looks worse than Tesla, and we sold this way back at 190, is Apple. Apple is breaking down below its support level here today, and it's being taken off of everybody's conviction list, it would seem. Not a good chart. It's a sick puppy. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the server REITs, there's two of them, actually. There's an ETF also, Barry. I can't think of, it was fairly new. There's an ETF. There's actually two new ETFs. The server one has been around for a while. And,
Is it the one that was is it VPN?
Let's see.
I thought it was something fancy. It was like a VPN, obviously.
Yeah, that's it. You got it.
Okay.
Look at that. It's hitting new all-time highs today.
Reminds me of TAN, like TAN. Remember the TAN,
yeah.
the solar ETF TAN?
So it is, it pays a 1.1% dividend yield, and it's hitting a new all-time high. So they are a digital infrastructure index, REIT index. So if you're going to own a REIT, the other one that it did come to my mind is Equinix, which is EQIX.
Yep.
Equinix is a network data server center. So they rent space for these giant server farms, right, where all this massive data, they have to be kept cool too. It's now a $900 stock, EQIX. Its dividend yield is 1.9%. And the one in the news today is Digital Realty Trust, DLR. They're teaming up with a company, I think, I think it's in Taiwan or Singapore. Digital Realty Trust and Mitsubishi, actually Japan, form a data center development joint venture. And they're going to build two data centers in the Dallas metro area, which are 100% pre-leased to an S&P 100 investment-grade customer on a long-term basis.
That's pretty nice, already pre-leased. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. And DLR, they hadn't even built them yet. All right, DLR is breaking out a little bit to a new 52-week high. It pays a dividend yield of 3.2%. Okay, and then the other one I got an email on is Wise, W-I-S-E. That's our friends from Themes Generative. They have a Themes Generative AI, a brand new, now it's now 3 months old out of the gate, made up of artificial intelligence stocks, which is a whole new field. W-I-S-E is the symbol. And it's just barely, it only has 5.8 million in it so far. There are others that come close that have a lot of robo, robotics, and others that are out there already. But this is a pure play on AI. Now, let's take a look at the S&P 500. I can't believe the breakout today in Broadcom. That's another one. Broadcom and AMD are following through on their massive breakouts from Friday. And, of course, those are a couple of our largest holdings. So we're having a really good day again here today. Now, as I look at the S&P 500, Macy's is the biggest winner, up 15.2%. So way at the other end of the spectrum from generative AI. You've got H&R Block. It must be tax season. They're up 8.1%. Morgan Stanley up 4.9%. Ford up 4%. And then NVIDIA, it's tacking on another 4%. And I have a few more copies of the article to send out today from people that requested. Sometimes when you go to Seeking Alpha, you may have used up your quota of free articles. Then they want a stipend from you. So I send them out, you know, my copy. Tesla is the biggest loser in the S&P 500 today. Down 5.7%. Not good. And here's another sign of the time. Albemarle, which once was a very hot stock.
Yeah, up there in North Carolina, right?
Big producer of lithium, and we thought there was no end to lithium demand for these EVs. And all of a sudden, EV mania has come to a screeching halt. Okay, now if we go to the NASDAQ, the biggest winners in the NASDAQ so far, man, the chips. Wow, the semiconductors are just red hot. Burning up the track. NVIDIA's up 3.7, AMD up 3.5. And then Broadcom is up 2%. Someone asked me about Qualcomm. I'm going to do a little work on Qualcomm today as an AI player in the chips. It's up 2% today. Biggest losers in the NASDAQ, once again, it's Tesla. Down 5.7%. Workday. Now, there's a good example, Barry. Sometimes, you know, you can't always call a top in the market, but you can see when an individual stock, we call tops in Tesla and Apple quite some time ago. And, you know, one by one, they kind of fall. Now, in this case, Apple just doesn't have any catalyst or anything going for them right now to really go forward with big growth. And Tesla, I think, competition from China, possible retribution from China with the EV wars that are going on right now between the U.S. and China. And the second biggest loser in the, I'm going to give you one more. Workday is down 5%, but here's one that's really falling on hard times. We called it, not at the exact top, but pretty close to it, there's something wrong with Google. And I'm reading that Google has just made a lot of missteps recently. That's a sick chart, too, on Google. So that's why it's so important to look at those charts every day. We unloaded all of our Google Alphabet not too long ago. What will we unload next? I don't know. I can't predict that, but I'll be going through my list today. What will we buy next? I don't know. I've got several on my watch list. You know, this is not a time to be a big hero in the market by plunking down big bets on new positions. And it's a time to be watching those inverse ETFs as a possible hedge against a correction. Now, to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, last week's newsletter was titled, Where's the Top? You get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. To set up an appointment with us and get us drop off your stocks at our daycare center here. We'll upgrade you, grade them while you're at work, hopefully. At least we'll try. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST, or just go request the newsletter and put a little note. I'd also like to have an appointment with you at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody. We'll
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.